Okay, time for take three of the Area Fishing Report.
Why do you keep saying that we're starting out with new takes? Nobody will know if you keep your mouth shut.
Yeah, that's unlikely to happen. I've lost customers, friends, acquaintances, enemies.
You know what the problem is here?
What?
We don't have Robert. That's the whole problem. When it's just you and me, yeah, you can't expect things to go right. The universe likes Robert a lot better.
I would probably say you're probably correct on that one. Anyway, Fishing Frank here in the chair, and Captain Josh Olive in the chair across from me.
With no Robert.
And we're Robertless. So, because we're Robertless, we're going to jump right into the Area Fishing Report. And up on the Peace River, intake one, Josh was telling me that the river's been at flood stage.
Well, we had it at flood stage. Now it's come back down. Last I looked at it, it looked like we were running about 7-6 feet, something around right in there. But it did hit 11. It did hit the flood stage temporarily. And that pushed a whole lot of fish right on out of that river system. There have been a handful of tarpon reports where guys are going up and seeing tarpon, but not necessarily catching tarpon, looking for tarpon, hoping for tarpon. But the snook have been a lot better up there.
Yeah, beginning of the week it was almost 11 and a half foot, and now we're back down to 7.5 feet.
Yeah.
It's dropped a little bit on the rise, but I don't think we've got enough rain coming. We're at 2,160 cubic feet per second.
Which is still a lot of water. I mean, that's 4 or 5 times what we should.
Well, the average is 682 cubic feet a second, and we're at 2,100.
Now,
the most was in 2005 at 5,900.
That's a lot of water.
That's twice what we got now.
That was a tropical system. That's how you get that.
Yeah, that was 2005. Gosh, a long time ago. All right. So, anyway.
But the snook action is still fair to middling up there. You know, guys are finding some of those snook hanging out along the docks and in some of the deeper holes where they're eating some of those fish that are still getting pushed down the river and not really quite sure where to go.
Is this the Navigator? Is it Harbor Heights, Punta Gorda? What are you talking about for docks?
Yeah, all through there. Any place where you're literally on the river where you've got good current flow coming past you, that's where you're going to want to look for those fish.
So, they're a new question. Do you think the tilapia are spawning, little baby tilapia coming down or anything?
I haven't been hearing about little tilapia. What I've been hearing about is hand-sized tilapia.
Really?
So last year's babies are the ones that seem to be the ones that are flushing down. We do have some little teeny tiny tilapia in the canals that are running off of the Peace River. You know, we've got that little canal ditch that runs behind the newspaper that I watch pretty closely, and I've been seeing some very small tilapia, and actually saw some Mayan cichlids in there spawning also.
Wow.
So we're going to be
seeing.
Boy,
those things are everywhere,
aren't they though? And they don't mind salt either.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's a bad thing or, you know, good witch, bad witch, or a sandwich. I don't know if it's going to be something disastrous for the area, because like when the Oscars went into Everglades, oh, the sky was falling, the earth was going to end, and then all of a sudden, wow, these things are pretty cool.
Right. Well, you can kind of get that idea from looking at the Everglades and looking at points south of us. You know, we always get this boom of these little cichlids coming through, and then we get some cold weather, and suddenly it's a bust. You know, they can't stand freezing temperatures, so we get a really cold winter. It kills them back pretty good. Get down to the Everglades, they don't necessarily have that problem. So you've got some areas where they have some really exotic cichlids that we don't have here. The bumblebee tilapia, which most people think of tilapia as kind of a Nile perch type fish that is mostly vegetarian, and bumblebee tilapia are not like that at all. They're actually very aggressive predators. They got jaguar wapote. They've got a type of a cichlid called a salvini, which if you keep fish, you might know those as a very aggressive but very pretty little fish. And all of those things are down there in the Everglades. It doesn't really seem to be hurting the bass population. It doesn't really seem to be hurting the panfish. And a lot of them will tolerate salt water. It certainly doesn't seem to be hurting the snook.
Well, I actually think that some of these exotic species are providing forage, you know, their babies and everything else, because a lot of the native fish had a hard time with the transition of the water and the heat and, you know, everything changing on them all the time. And I think overall, it's not going to be a bad thing. I think it's going to work out pretty good. Switching to I-75, what do we do at I-75 right now?
So we've had some folks going up there looking for tarpon and not being real successful with it. But I did talk to a guy who's been doing pretty good with black drum up there. He's using frozen crabs that he's had in the freezer for a while, just setting them on the bottom. Got a couple of nice fish in that 20, 30-pound range, and he hooked into one that he thinks was a black drum, and I suggested maybe it was a Goliath grouper because he said, you know, those 20 and 30-pounders, pretty easy to control. The last one he hooked into, he just couldn't do anything to stop it, couldn't do nothing with it. So that was either a monster of a black drum or it could have been a Goliath, and Goliaths will happily eat crabs.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't know much that doesn't. All right. It's going to take us down by 41. Let's see if this will still copy and paste. Yep. Oh, and it's the right thing, too. All
right. Hey, that's the best, right?
Love it when a plan comes together. I was just looking at the SOS thing there, and I was so disappointed Jerry didn't have time to bottom paint my boat. So now I'm going to have to, I think I'm going to hire my nephew to do it. And I'm not sure how that's going to work out. It's so easy when you can just
go to Jerry over at SOS
and say, Jerry, can you do this?
They always say, if you can hire family, that's the way to go, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. It alleviates all the pressure because you know they're not going to mess up at all.
They absolutely won't. No. There's no expectations in between you. You don't have any kind of baggage that you're carrying whatsoever. It's really the ideal solution.
Yeah. But I don't know anybody else who's out of work. That might tell you something, though. So anyway, 41 Bridge, what are we talking about fishing-wise?
I've talked to a couple
people. I'm sure nobody out there has a relative that they're going, well, they're out of work, so maybe I'll give them a little bit of work.
And, that never happens.
Never happens. Nobody's got one of those in the family.
Nope. Okay. And everybody who has done that, I'm sure, has positive things to say about it, too. So,
so positive fishing at 41 Bridge. Anything positive?
We can't get down to some of our land-based spots there. You know, the that little park right off the bridge is still closed. But I talked to the same guy who was catching black drum down at 75, and he was catching a couple of redfish on frozen shrimp up here underneath the 41. Now, the weird thing was that he wasn't catching what he was expecting to catch. He wasn't catching those little 18 and 20-inch redfish. He was catching redfish that were more like 30.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's a little surprising.
Yeah, just a little bit.
I'm still drawing a loop on that one. You know, it kind of goes back to where I was. We used to have a hatchery on Pine Island, and they used to breed redfish there. And I think these hatchery fish, and they found it with some of the salmon up north, they don't actually know where to go to spawn.
Right.
Because they're supposed to be in this spot, and then the eggs are taken and hatched, and then they're bred as fish in an entirely different area. And when they're released, I don't know that they actually do what normal redfish are supposed to do, because we've had for several years now these big redfish that seem to be here all year.
There's something about the imprinting of where that egg turns into a larva, where it actually hatches, that seems to imprint on those baby fish, oh, this is where I need to come back to spawn when I'm an adult. And when that doesn't happen to those fish, then they just don't react the way that they're supposed to. It turns out to be almost a totally different animal. You know, we think of, well, it's a redfish, it's going to have instincts to do what a redfish is supposed to do. But if you look at places where redfish spawn in different areas, they act totally different. The redfish over off the Atlantic coast do not spawn at the same time and in the same places as our redfish do here on the west coast of Florida.
No, everything's different. And I think that could account for why we have these big fish here, why they don't do what normal redfish do. It's the only thing I can think of. And mind you, folks, it's not a truism. It's, you know, just...
It's a frankism.
The frankism thing that I just ponder about stuff, and all of a sudden, weird things come out of my mouth. But it's, you know. Anyway,
we've also had some jacks up there underneath the 41 Bridge, and some of those schools have been big enough that you can actually watch them when you're driving over the bridge. Just watch them tearing up bait fish down there, which is pretty cool.
I think it's my favorite part about living here. I remember when I was up in Destin, Fort Walton Beach, I used to love, because I was living in Destin, I'd drive over to Fort Walton Beach and just looking over. As you're going over the bridge, looking at the water, and I don't know, something about going over a bridge and looking at the water, causing traffic accidents, half killing yourself, is just something special.
Yeah, it's a magical moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, keeps me in line, keeps me going.
All right. I'm looking at fish. Quit honking at me.
Yeah. What do you mean, beep? Come on, get a life. All right. Let's see. Lashley Pier.
Lashley Pier, I have not talked to anybody who's been out there making the attempt.
Yeah, I got nothing either. Okay. Bayshore Pier, I know the guys are trying to shark fish there, and it's not doing so well. A couple guys were out there, I guess about seven, 8 hours, and they got one shark and some catfish.
Wow. That's not a great night.
No, that wasn't really good. I actually told them maybe try Gilchrist. It's the Forgotten Pier.
Right. Yeah, and Gilchrist does seem to be doing a little bit better this year.
Yeah, and so that doesn't have anything to do with Bayshore. So I guess this takes us into the Port Charlotte Canal System.
You know, you
wait a minute. I got to do an ad for Chuck.
Well, go ahead.
Chuck Hepp. I got to tell people, if you're looking for the most amazing carpenter, this guy is really, really good. He's not less expensive or more expensive than anybody, but he's a very good friend. He does excellent work, and he's helped me build my pirate ship, the decks around my house, helped me with the new radio studios, everything. And I just wanted to tell people, if you're looking for somebody, I got his phone number right there on the fishing report thing at Chuck's Custom Carpentry.
You know, there are some people that you don't want to hire just based on price, and carpenter is high on the list. You know, there's a reason that a budget carpenter is a budget carpenter.
I can tell you, there was a guy comes in here all the time, and he was telling me he had some real damage to his house. And I said, you need to hire Chuck because it's one and done, and it's right. I mean, I had to rebuild all the columns in the front of my house, and Chuck came out. We, helped him, and we rebuilt all the columns. And this guy didn't. He said, no, I'm not going to pay that much. And Chuck isn't any more or less expensive than anybody else, but he wanted a much cheaper rate. And he got it. And where that damage was, you can see it all again. Mm-hmm. It's all come back.
Yep.
You don't get it sealed up right. You don't work it right. It's a problem. Anyway, guys, I'm sorry about that, but Chuck's such a good friend, and he helped me so much. We've got a new recording studio we've done. We're going to be syndicating a lot of these radio shows that we do. I know you don't have any reason why anybody wants to listen to us, but anyway, it appears like some people do, and they want to, and it's going national. So Josh is going to be working with me on a show, and he's got shows of his own that he's going to be doing. And so Chuck was very instrumental once again in helping us get our new studios together, and I just wanted to say thank you, Chuck. Appreciate it, buddy. All right, and here's a picture of my pirate ship there, too, so you can see that. We could have another pirate ship party. We haven't had one in
a long time.
It's been 2-3 years. Ever since the IRS audit just whooped my butt. Man, you go through a forensic IRS audit, I mean, every slip of paper you've ever wrote
a note on. Your mood to party is gone for years, huh?
Oh, man, I'm telling you, it sucked the life out of me. That was horrible.
it's almost.
And I came through it fine. I wasn't doing anything wrong. I've learned, it's not my first audit. I am probably the most legal bait shop in the world because nothing terrifies you more than the government.
It's almost too soon, too close to plan one for Independence Day. I mean, that's coming right up. July
4th. I don't know if I've lived in Florida long enough to know you don't plan parties in the summer. It's hot, it's nasty.
Sticky,
we'll wait
wet,
for Halloween
rainy.
To come around. I'll have it ready by Halloween. So
gotcha.
Pirate ship party on Halloween.
We were at the Port Charlotte Canals, weren't we?
Yeah, Port Charlotte Canals.
Well, that's where I was going to tell you that those redfish that were down at 41 were not strictly an anomaly. I've had several reports of guys catching good-sized redfish off of their docks. And not just guys, some of them are girls and some of them are Robert's girlfriend.
Yeah.
So.
Boy, she's kicking his butt bad, isn't she?
Whooping it.
That woman, I don't know, but she outfishes Robert like 20 to 1.
Well, and Robert will just tell you, he's just letting her fish and kind of laying back. And, that's probably true because it's probably true because he probably realized she's going to outfish him no matter what he does.
Yeah.
So he needs an excuse. But, yeah, she's been catching some fish out there. Some of them have been some pretty good redfish. I was over there the other day to do a column and was watching her not quite be prepared for the enormous school of jacks that came through. If she had been prepared for it, some of those fish looked like they were pretty good fish, maybe in that 10-12 pound range. So she would have had quite a fight on her hands. Other people who have been more prepared have been catching those fish. They're zipping through there, especially if you're fairly close to the harbor. The juvenile tarpon in there have been doing fairly well, a lot better than most people have been doing on the bigger tarpon out in the harbor, which we'll get to. But, you know, it's one of those situations where you kind of have to find them and you kind of have to find them feeding. But once you do that, then you got a real good chance at catching some of those fish. And if you're not catching those fish, well, hey, you know what? There's jacks and redfish, I just told you. Guys are also finding some snook up in there, but, you know, if I have a chance to go catch those jacks, then I'd much rather do that than bother the snook.
Okay. And I'm almost done typing. All right. And so now we can move on to the next spot.
Okay.
Eljabine, the Eljabine Pier.
Eljabine, despite also being on a river, which is getting a lot of freshwater flow coming down it, fishing over at Eljabine has been a lot better than it is on the mouth of the Peace River. Getting some guys who, again, are catching some black drum down there. The snook bite has been pretty fairly phenomenal, with some nice big fish being caught. And a lot of those fish that they're catching are really, really dark. You know, it's clear that they've been spending some time way up the rivers and that they've kind of moved down with the water flow. A lot of the lighter fish have moved out into the harbor, so we're not seeing too many bright silvery snook. We're seeing those black, black river snook.
Yeah, with kind of the coppery sides on them because the water's just dyed them gold. Yeah, they're supposed to be, you know, silver and blue and white and black, and these are just those old river fish that the water's dyed dark.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Look a lot like a largemouth bass looks when you get them out of the same kind of water, where they're just so dark that you almost can't tell what color they used to be anymore. Pretty cool fish.
Okay. What about the rest of the Micro River area, the Cutoff, Tippy Canoe, the Micro River?
Talked to a couple people fishing in the Cutoff. They were finding some smaller redfish up there, and not many of those, but loads and loads of small snook. They were fishing with live bait, so that's pretty much what they were in there expecting to catch, and that's exactly what they caught. They also managed to catch a couple of baby bull sharks up in there. I haven't talked to anybody who's fished Tippy, though.
Okay. All right. God. I'm going to have to break one of my fingers so
Which
I
one?
Can spell. It's going to be the middle finger in my left hand, because that's what hits the, when I go to write the, hits the H first. And
you got a hammer over here someplace.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Now I'm better. Okay. Now I'll type the correctly. All right. South Gulf Cove and canals.
Yeah. Not so much with South Gulf Cove. Nobody wants to talk about South Gulf Cove again.
We're not talking about it. All right.
I don't know why.
All right. That takes us onto the West Wall.
West Wall. Fishing down the West Wall, finding a lot of small trout. Handful of bigger trout, but not very many. And it's kind of weird how we always tell people, when you're finding smaller trout and that's all you're catching, move around a little bit and look for some of those bigger trout. Not been the case. These are bigger trout hanging around the smaller trout. I think that they're actually trying to eat the smaller trout. So if you want to catch those bigger fish, instead of moving, I'd suggest moving up to a bigger bait.
Yeah, if you're throwing a 17MR, you like those mirror lures, switch to a 52. And on the west side, you're dealing with about 2 feet of water in the average. So once you see it hit the surface, count one, stop reel. You've got to let it sink for at least, when you see the splash, at least a full second to get it down below that school of trout. If you're in 3 feet of water, count to two before you start to reel, and then just start reeling and slowly start tapping that rod tip. And
yeah, and the 52 is good. That's not a bad choice, but I might consider going to something even bigger than that, like that big 6-inch storm swim bait, something along those lines. A big
really?
Old hoagie. Like I said, they're hanging out so close to those little 10-12 inch trout that I think that's what they're going after. So something that comes a little bit closer to that size might
so
be a good choice.
Maybe a big bomber?
The big bomber could definitely work. Yeah.
Yeah, just take the front treble hook, flatten the barbs out, put a single hook on the back, and that might do it right
that
there.
That might do it right there.
If you think XR10, the XRAP 10 would be big enough, or you really want to switch to like that, they've got that one, that balsa bait, and I forget the name of it, a balsa extreme, I guess. And that's got a little bit bigger. With the balsa, would it be, if you have enough flotation where you could run it in that shallow, even though it's such a big lure?
Right. That or something like a hoagie without a weight on it or with a very light weight on it. So
you're going back to the soft plastic. You really think that's going to be the way to go?
Well, I want something that has a nice big size to it, but that I can rig for shallow water. And, you know, to me, a lot of those hard baits are difficult to rig for shallow water. You know, gotcha. you constantly are getting hung up on stuff. So,
yeah.
You know, something
good
with
info.
A good chunky profile on it. Of course, they're also finding lots of small snook down there, a handful of very scattered redfish along there, and those have been mixed sizes, but mostly under that 27-inch range, so in the slot or sometimes even smaller.
Okay. I'm going to add that redfish in. That was a great little afterthought. I'm going to move down here to Cape Hayes. And Cape Hayes seems to be the dividing line between the fresh waters of the river and the possible salty waters of the Gulf.
Right.
You've got, I call it the Straits, from Boca Grande Pass up through to Cape Hayes. You know, you've got that area where you come into the pass and it goes all the way across to Burnt Store right there. That's where that tide enters in. We get most of our water right through that area. And it seems to be the dividing line, the demarcation line of, okay, the dark waters of the harbor to possibly dark water outgoing and clear water incoming.
And that's why we're seeing out there at Cape Hayes on the Boca Grande side of the bar, we're seeing some Spanish mackerel, we're seeing some bluefish, that kind of stuff coming in from the Gulf, whereas on the river side of it, we're not really seeing too many of those fish. We are seeing a handful of sharks down there, which don't seem to mind the freshwater very much, especially the bulls and those bonnethead sharks, pretty good numbers of bonnethead sharks, actually. And a couple of tarpon down there, but it hasn't been anything like you'd really want to go down there and target tarpon. It's just like, you know, saw a tarpon swim by.
Okay. And that kind of goes along with, well, we're going into Bull Bay, Turtle Bay, and I would say some of the best possibilities for tarpon are out in front of Bull and Turtle Bay, because I haven't heard yet today. I'm waiting for Morris to go out to work. He on the island, he works out there, hoping he's going to give me a red tide report, let me know how the water's doing. But in front of Bull and Turtle Bay, it seemed like the tarpon were pushing away from that red tide that was there. And when they went up, they weren't staying on the hill, so they kind of went up in front of Bull and Turtle Bay, that area where we usually shark fish out there from the reefs over, you know. But what's going on in Bull and Turtle Bay themselves?
Well, in the bays themselves, guys have been catching, again, those trout, which are kind of ubiquitous. Again, the small snook, which are kind of everywhere, too. Haven't heard anybody catching redfish in there except for one guy. The guy who was catching redfish in there was in Bull Bay, and he was fishing some of the deeper mangrove shorelines. And he told me that he caught probably 20 redfish on that day of fishing. He had photos of 3 or 4 of them. So whether he actually caught 20, I don't know. You know how fisherman math works.
Right.
So, but I think he was doing okay, and he was fishing with just pieces of cut bait fished up underneath the mangrove edges. Had guys catching some ladyfish in there. Bluefish have been running around in there cutting people's baits off. Of course, there have been sharks in there. Some of those black-tip sharks have been fairly good size for shallow water. You know, you don't really expect to see 5 and 6 foot black tips up there on the flats, but some of them have been cruising through there. And part of that has also been the large numbers of mullet that people have been seeing in there.
Okay. It was a lot to type out. Good report.
I know, it was a bunch of words.
No, it's good. Now that I know words, I can say big stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. And so let's go out Cape Hayes Danger Reef. I think there's possibility of a tarpon?
Sure. There's definitely the possibility of a tarpon, especially, like you said, if that red tide pushes them around. Because we have had some red tide here inside the harbor. You know, don't get too panicked or freaked out about it, but just be aware that they've measured some medium concentrations here inside the lower harbor. So,
yeah, we've actually put a red tide report at the bottom of this page.
Yeah.
I've got... if you're not sure what it means, green is good. Yellow is possibility might run into some red tide. And if the name of the county's in red, you know they're having a problem. So I just got green, yellow, and red.
I gotcha.
Anyway.
Yeah, but that's a thing, and it's very possible that when you have red tide out there, it will push those fish around. So, you know, keep looking on the move for them. That's what the fish are going to be doing if there's red tide. They're going to be moving away from it.
And slowly, lethargically.
Well, maybe. It depends if it actually catches up to them and kind of slows their breathing down, then, yeah, they're not going to be really moving that fast. But if they're just outside the edge of the patch, and that seems to be the case with tarpon.
You know, my chair broke.
Pretty quick away from it.
Look at the arm on my chair. I know your chair doesn't get arms.
No,
I'm used to having arms.
I'm not going
to
feel bad for you because your arm broke off when I never had arms in the first place.
Luxuriously nice chair, and the arm broke off. And so it's hanging there. It's kind of annoying because I'm very comfortable on the left side, but my right side is rather, you know, it's not fair.
Turn the chair around and sit backwards.
Thanks. Okay. All right. So what else at Cape Hayes and Danger Reef?
Just trying to be helpful, man.
Yeah, I get it. I appreciate it. You know, I was just sitting here and I was trying to, you know, kick back. You were doing a nice report and everything was going good. And then all of a sudden, my right arm falls down. I'm like, where's my arm on my chair?
I haven't heard much about bottom fishing out there.
Oh, it locked back in. Look at that. It's nice again.
Is this a chair report or what?
I don't know, but it's good again. I can actually be comfortable here. All right, so anyway, weren't you doing a report here? Why are you interrupting me?
I apologize, Frank. I'm very sorry. It was my fault.
Come on.
The bottom fishing out there has been fairly slow. You know, guys, going out now that we've got gag season open, we've got some people who are hoping to find some inside there, and they did not find some inside there. I heard about a handful of sandwich-sized mangrove snapper, and that's pretty much it out there on the bottom. One guy did report spotting a cobia. He did not report hooking said cobia.
Okay. And next week on Fish Man.
How's your chair?
Possible. My chair is actually really nice. Yeah, I was really surprised at how comfy this feels now. You know, and I know, you know, we don't have the money to put arms on, you know, armchairs over there for you guys to sit on, but I'm actually doing quite well.
That's
at the
fine.
Moment.
I don't need an armchair. Look, here, Robert's not sitting in this stool. I'll just turn around and make it into an arm.
See? Okay.
There we go.
Yeah. All right. Gasparilla Sound. We're talking about the areas from Devilfish Key north up to Placida.
Devilfish Key north all the way up to Placida.
And it could be on the Gasparilla side or the, you know,
Eastern, the intracoastal area.
Anywhere
there, yes?
Through there, yes.
Okay. Well, that's where we started to see some pretty good snook, and guys are finding some of that, again, along those docks on the island side and up in the canals in Boca Grande, up in Boca Bayou area, assuming that there's not any red tide in there, because when it gets in there, it tends to kind of linger for a little bit. But if you don't have any red tide up in Boca Bayou, that would probably be a pretty good spot to go look for some of those larger female snook that have been hanging out and pitch them a ladyfish or a lizardfish or something like that. Over on the other side, on the Bull Bay side, the Cape Hayes Peninsula side, the wild side, if you want to call it that, we're seeing we're seeing a few tarpon on the edge of the channel there, where the water starts to get a little bit shallower. We're seeing actually fairly good numbers of tarpon up in there. But whether you're going to be able to hook one or not is kind of up to whether they want to bite. Also, some of those schools of Spanish mackerel mixed in with some ladyfish and some bluefish and the occasional jacks, but not the big ones that we're seeing up way up in the harbor. These are more of those little guys, those little pound, two-pounders, the shark bait size, as I call them.
Okay. And... can't help it.
I don't even know what you're laughing at now. Nobody knows what you're laughing at. What are you laughing at?
Well, okay, Placida. It's worth a laugh. I'm just going to go with that. What's going on at Placida?
Placida is funny because it sounds like placenta?
No, that wasn't it at all. That really never actually entered my mind. That is definitely, no.
That's not funny.
No,
that's
I can't
gross.
Say that was even a relative thought of mine. I have a wonderful cup of coffee here. It's got the right amount of cream, some hazelnut in it. My armchair is working nicely. I'm kicked back.
And that's worth laughing about. Okay.
I enjoy life. Okay.
You
Placida
should.
Pier.
We all should enjoy
Placida
life so much.
Oh, I'm having a wonderful time.
Well, Placida
Simply
Pier is still shut down,
having...
is it not?
Okay.
I haven't
yes.
heard that it's open, so until they tell me it's open, then it's probably still shut down.
Yeah, but the Boca side is still open, I guess.
The
Gasparilla.
Boca side, sure. You can go over there if you want to. I haven't talked to anybody who's been over there. Not on that pier, anyway.
So we're doing question marks.
But the trestle itself,
okay.
guys who are fishing that from the boat, have been reporting mixed sizes of snook. A couple of flounder reported over in there. One of the guys who was out on the sandbar last Saturday said that he was just throwing shrimp out from the boat right in the middle of all the other boats in very shallow water, foot and a half, 2 feet of water. And he said bluefish kept coming by and attacking his shrimp. And he said he probably caught 15 or 20 of them there just in amongst all those other boats on the sandbar.
Isn't it amazing? But I think, you know, people are kind of historically messy. You know, they're eating sandwiches and the little bit of bread or whatever left over, you know, something falls on the deck and you throw it overboard, little bits of food and stuff like that. I'm not sure that, you know, eating popcorn, little pieces going to water.
So you think Dorito crumbs make a good chum for bait fish, which would bring bluefish in? That's what you're saying?
I think the bluefish are actually going for the Doritos.
Interesting.
I think, you know, everybody likes Doritos.
And what flavor do you think the bluefish like in particular?
Oh, actually nachos with extra cheese. It's got to be.
I would think the bluefish would prefer something hotter, spicier.
Well, I don't know. Do they have an Italian-flavored, you know, Dorito?
I don't think there's Italian-flavored, no, but there's like a spicy jalapeno.
Bluefish are more or less northeastern. You know, they'd probably be into that good Italian stuff.
Right. I don't know. This is pointless.
Okay, we're talking about Lemon Bay at this point. I've already moved on.
Right.
I'm not getting sucked into this.
Thank you. Getting up into Lemon Bay.
Stay on topic.
How far up into Lemon Bay would you like to go? Would you like to go up to the Tom Adams area, or would you like to go further north?
Yeah, anywhere in the area.
Anywhere in that area.
Because we're going to be doing the pier next.
You're going to do the pier next. Okay. Well, then we'll just stick a little bit north of that. Redfish up there on the flats around Lemon Bay Park. Been doing actually pretty good, and it's not just Robert's usual guy. These are two different guys that I don't think either one of them is Robert's usual guy that have been up there wade fishing and reporting kind of the same thing that Robert's usual guy reports. Live shrimp seem to be the key up there, and the other thing seems to be getting out early before the boats start running through there because it's murking up the water pretty good. So they're going out there wading, and they're doing okay with it. They reported catching some trout, but they weren't really reportable trout. They were just little dinks. But the redfish, they seem to be quite happy with.
Okay. Scrolling down here. Now we're at the pier.
Okay.
And it's an anger pier.
Anger. So I've heard of two short gag grouper.
I quit doing that joke. I've been doing that joke for like 2 years, and it's just getting old. Don't
After
me do
only
that
2 years,
anymore.
How could it
Don't
be getting
do
old?
Don't me do that anymore.
How would you like me to stop you?
Well, I don't know. Do what you usually do. Give me that dirty look.
I've been giving you the dirty look the whole time we're doing this report, and it hasn't stopped you yet. I got to find something I can throw that won't cause a permanent mark. That's what I need.
Just don't break in the equipment. It's also delicate here.
Well, everything over here on this side that I can play with has hooks on it. I don't want to leave a permanent injury.
Yeah, no needle-nose pliers. Don't throw those at me. Okay.
Need a Nerf gun.
The pier next to the Tom Adams Bridge.
The pier next to the Tom Adams Bridge.
Or the bridge, whatever you want.
A couple of short gags caught out there. And remember, now gags have to be 24 inches, so it's going to be much harder to catch a keeper gag off of that pier. Not that it's impossible, but short gags now means 21, 22-inch fish, which you swear are going to be keeper fish until you pull them up, which is why it's important to be using a bridge net and not a bridge gaff.
24 inches, right?
24 inches.
Okay.
So
anything else?
Careful with that down there. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Guys are catching a handful of small sharks down there. I've had a couple of Spanish mackerel caught down there, although not quite as many as we had a couple of weeks ago. Been some bluefish around. I had a guy catch a Bermuda chub up there.
What is a Bermuda chub?
Bermuda chubs are this funky looking.
How do you really spell Bermuda?
B-E-R-M-U-D-A. Bermuda chub. It looks kind of like a panfish almost like a big bluegill, except they're more like a brownish reddish color, and it's got kind of a smallish head for its size. And if you look at their teeth are very sharp. Small but sharp, almost piranha-like, except a little bit more needly rather than razory. And, of course, this guy had no idea what he had caught, and he couldn't find it in any of the books.
Was the picture we were looking at in here yesterday? Couldn't figure out what it was?
Might have been. I don't know. I'll show you the photo, and we'll see. Okay. The reason that I mention it is because Bermuda chub are schooling fish, and if there are Bermuda chubs down there, then it wouldn't be a huge surprise if there were more than one Bermuda chub.
Yeah, I think this is the very first report we've ever had that included Bermuda chubs.
I think that that's probably true. It's not a common fish around
here. Do they have a head kind of more like a permit?
Yeah, kind of like this?
Yep.
Is that what he looks like?
Yep.
Yep, that's a Bermuda chub.
You should get those up in the Peace River a lot.
I guess that's possible. Bermuda chub are usually a strictly saltwater fish, though. They don't usually like brackish areas at all.
Okay, maybe it was a different one.
Maybe.
You used to cast at them and they'd die immediately. It must have been just some kind of river chub.
Really? Just...
Yeah, no, I mean, you'd see these beautiful chubs working through the water and throw a cast net. I learned once I saw them never to throw on them because bring them up in the boat, they're dead.
Wow.
I couldn't get them into a live well before they would die.
Bizarre. But it's just a reminder that, you know, despite fishing reports and despite going out there and catching all these different fish and being on a spot that you fished for years, there's always something different, always something weird, always something unexpected that you might hook into.
It is the greatest thing about Southwest Florida because you have no idea what you're going to catch. You're reeling in one fish and you're fighting that fish and something comes along and eats that fish. Now you went from a 2-pound ladyfish to 150-pound tarpon. Or some other fish, a shark or a cobia or whatever. I mean, there's so many different species of fish here. And
there really are.
It's really one of the most varied species area that I've ever seen. Because like in the Keys, I used to think the Keys had so many different types of fish. But you get down there and it's really kind of numbered. And I would have never even suspected that this area would have a bigger variety of fish than what the Keys would.
Well, because we have a broader variety of habitats. You know, you're mostly looking at coral reef habitat or coral and sand habitat down there. And up here, it's a totally different world. You've got the estuary, you've got the rivers, you've got the grass beds, you've got a huge variety of habitats, including the coral reefs, if you really look hard enough for them. You know, we don't have much of the hard coral like that, but you got those little soft coral patches, and you know amazing.
It's just amazing how many different types of fish. So speaking of amazing, is the Gulf of Mexico amazing, or does it get the bad review?
No, the Gulf of Mexico has been pretty freaking amazing.
Pretty freaking amazing. Okay,
yeah.
So
The guys who are going out on the Red Snapper charter trips, which charter season opened on the 1st, our private recreational season does not open until the 11th, but the guys who have been going out there doing the charters have reported fantastic Red Snapper action. They're also catching gag grouper. They're catching scamp out there. Saw a picture of a scamp that must have gone about 10 pounds, which is a pretty enormous scamp. For out there. A lot of big lane snapper. The mangrove snapper have been out there too, although not quite as big as I would have expected them to be for guys going in 120 to 160 feet of water red snapper fishing. You know, they're catching 3- and 4-pound mangrove snapper, which are nothing to sneeze at, but I would have hoped for 7- and 8-pounders. But, you know, still, it's been amazing out there. Speaking of amazing, look who's here. Hi, Captain Morris.
Hey.
How you doing?
You want to jump in on the rest of the report here, Morris?
We just got to the Gulf of Mexico. You know anything about what's been going on out there?
All right. I'm going to hit pause here for just a second. And as we get wound up here, getting Morris mic'd in, Captain Morris Campbell's joining us here, along with Captain Josh Olive.
I've been here. I'm not joining anything. I sound different on this microphone, though.
All right.
You do.
I will.
You sound a bit more manly on that microphone.
Do I sound more manly, Captain?
Yes, you do.
Why, thank you.
All right, that should bring you back more than
okay.
You were. There you go. All right.
That's the Josh now. We all know
him. Speak up, Morris.
Yes, there is something there. All right, anyway, we've been talking about red snappers out 40 miles or so, excellent scamp and red grouper fishing as well, and a huge amount of lane snappers, some really big ones, and the mangrove snappers doing good too. What else is going on out there?
Yeah, Morris, what else is going on out there?
Blackfin tunas. a lot of blackfin tunas, a lot of big kingfish still. A lot of people think our kingfish move on through here in a big migration. And now, actually, most of the big kingfish actually stay and spawn in our water. Some trickle to the north. Most of them spawn right out here in 60, 70, 80 feet of water.
I used to see more of the northern migration, but lately the Gulf temperature here in Pensacola have been the exact same. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's no reason for them to travel all that way. If they got food here, they're just going to hang out.
Yeah, wow. We looked at that this morning, and it's 87 in Naples and 86 in Pensacola.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And something I've discovered over the years, and, you know, quite a few years back I discovered this, actually. In the heart of winter, when our water temperature is 60 degrees inland and off the coast, you know, mid-January, cold fronts, water's murky, rough, this, that, and the other. If you're out 80 miles in the Gulf off Boca Grande, the water's 74, 75 degrees, nice and crystal clear blue, and it's loaded with kingfish that didn't migrate to the Keys.
Yeah.
You can't put a bait in the water for kingfish. If you turn the lights on at night, you're just inundated with king mackerel. So they
sounds horrible.
And what I'm thinking is that the old school thought of them doing the big migration north and big migration south, how about the idea that they do a big migration, but they do a big migration from the deep water Gulf into the shallows and then back out?
So we got a Morrisism.
Well,
I like it, though. It makes a lot of sense.
It's a Morrisism.
I
like that. And my chair broke again. The arm of my chair is falling off.
Would you
off
quit
again.
Whining about your stupid chair?
But it's my chair. Okay.
I'll break the other arm in a minute.
All the pelagics, though, are readily available out in the Gulf.
All right. Now, I've had a couple reports of schoolie dolphin out there, mahi-mahi.
Mm-hmm. There's more than just schoolies out there. You know, most of the time when people encounter dolphin, they're doing something, you know, they're grouper fishing or they're bottom fishing, and the dolphin just come up around the boat. But there are large dolphin as well there. I mean, all those dolphin that get to the Keys, that they're catching in the Keys and in the east coast of Florida in the Gulf Stream, they're coming from our Gulf side. They're coming from the Gulf Loop current or the Caribbean current.
So how far out would you have to go to have a reasonably good chance of seeing dolphin?
This time of year, 50, 60 feet.
Really?
To see dolphin.
So literally 20 miles.
Yeah, or less. Main thing to do is, you know, it's real hard to catch dolphin if you're putting an 8-ounce sinker on and bombing a sardine to the bottom. You know, they'll come up around the boat and then you could hook them. But, you know, if you were trolling and presenting baits that dolphin will eat and the other pelagics will eat, you'll catch a lot more dolphin.
Okay, so if you're going to fish for them, you're more likely to catch them.
Absolutely. You wouldn't catch a lot of snook if you're shark fishing.
No.
That one's actually true.
Okay. All right. We are going to go. Next step is the passes. Anybody got anything on Venice?
I haven't heard anything amazing up there. You know, guys catching a handful of snook here. They're catching, you know, a handful of pompano, but it hasn't been, you know, super awesome.
Okay. Stump pass.
I haven't talked to anybody who's fished the pass itself.
Little Gasparilla pass.
Red tide. Red tide.
Do we have red tide
red
there?
Red tide. Boca Grande and Little Pass, yeah. Especially, you know, with all the westerly winds we've had. I did a little Yosepa Island trip, just a lunch cruise the other day, a couple days back, actually. And the red tide was so bad on the westerly wind that it was choking you. So a lot of dead fish inside the pass, all the way down toward Captiva. Trout, ladyfish, pinfish, you know, the usual catfish, mullet. First things that usually get nipped.
But the important thing to remember, Morris, is that terrestrial water flow has nothing to do with red tide.
Oh, absolutely not.
Nothing at all.
No, it doesn't. You know, yeah. The manatees are highly endangered, and, you know, red snapper are endangered and must be protected, and, you know, all that over-enriched nutrients from Lake Okeechobee has no effect.
Well, that 11 feet of water coming in off the river, that had nothing to do with that sudden burst of red tide out here. Zero.
Nothing.
No, the fertile... I've literally talked to these biologists from the state who are contracted, you know, And they told me if you fertilize, you know, Red Tide, which is a plant, it has no effect on it. I'm really going to listen hard to what these folks have to say.
Well, they're scientists, not farmers, Frank. Cut them some slack.
Right. Yes, that's exactly what it is. Scientists, not farmers. Okay. Captiva Pass, Redfish Pass, anybody got anything down there?
I heard that they were getting some tarpon and redfish, but that may or may not be the case anymore. That report is probably
Which
5 days
was
old.
It?
Redfish.
Okay.
Yeah, about
tarpon
a week
and
ago,
redfish.
We did good down there. Did good in Pine Island Sound with redfish and snook and some big old trout, but yeah, that could have all changed with the red tide. A lot of bait fish.
Okay. And if you're going to go along, standing on land, on the beach, casting out into the Gulf of Mexico, any possibilities of fish anywhere along the shorelines?
Just sure. Watch out for dead catfish on the beach.
Yeah. Some of those things are buried right up to the spines. So I like to be barefoot out there, but I'd probably wear some kind of foot gear. You know, you get a reasonable chance if you're throwing a little white bucktail of going out there and catching some snook. Certainly been a handful of pompano and a few flounder out there as well. But I would think that snook would be your main target and getting out there early in the morning. If you want to throw some little chunks of shrimp or some little teeny tiny crappie jigs, you can go out there and target some whiting too.
Okay.
Don't ignore the old classic silver spoon in the surf as well. It's a fish catcher and easy to use.
Never know what you're going to hit if you throw in a spoon. I don't know how I ever spelled whiting. It was W2HIM. Like W2? God, how do people read this thing? Gotta have a translator. All right, Sanibel, Ponarasa, anything down there?
I haven't heard anything.
That's all dependent on, you know, they've got some really nasty water coming out of there right now.
Okay. A couple of question marks. Coosatchie River, any reports anybody have?
Yeah, I don't think that there's going to be much in the Coosatchie right now, except maybe a few intrepid catfish.
Yeah, catfish and some gars. And
okay.
Some freshwater species.
Yeah, some very confused bass washing out to the Gulf of Mexico. How did I get here?
All right, Matt Lachey.
Matt Lachey's actually been decent. Guy's catching some redfish over there on the oyster bars. Don't expect huge numbers of them, but keep working at it, and you can certainly catch some of those guys. And while you're doing that, if you're fishing the oyster bar, turn around, look and see if there's any grass, and the trout will be hanging out on that. And in the mangrove areas, of course, they're catching lots of small snook again. Haven't heard anything, though, about decent-sized snook over there, which we've had for the last few weeks, actually for the last few months, some decent fish on the docks and on the bridge, and those seem to be vanished.
Well, they've started to migrate out to do their spawn now. And they were really heavy in the passes and along the inside of the barrier islands. But, you know, the red tide will move those around too.
All right. Pine Island Sound?
Pine Island Sound's been okay. You know, it doesn't see as much of that water coming out of the Coosatchie as, you know, they do further south, and it also doesn't see as much of the fresh water coming out of the Peace and Myakka rivers. So, you know, everything that has been going on in Pine Island Sound still is. They're seeing some pretty good sized trout down there. You get on that deeper grass, there's some nice fish. Handful of redfish, again, don't expect it to be amazing, but if you work at it, you'll find a few. Had a lot of shark reports coming out of Pine Island Sound, and a mixed bag of sizes, everything from those little brand new 16-inch black tip sharks up to lemon sharks about 10 feet long. So, you know, there's a pretty cool mixed bag in there. If you like shark fishing, it would be probably one of the better places to hit right now. How about you, Morris?
I actually saw a really nice 9 to 10 foot size lemon shark in some shallow water up in Pine Island Sound last week.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was very nice to see a shark that size swimming around. You know, you don't see a whole lot of those big ones anymore like that.
No, you really don't. But, you know, I think a lot more of those fish hang out there at night if you're willing to go out there and come up on the flats when there aren't any boats or people out there.
Well, it's traffic. So, yeah,
sure.
It runs them off. But, you know, Pine Island Sound, you know, definitely a great area. You know, you can encounter some real nice bluefish still in there. They're hanging around a little late this year. There were schools of smaller and medium threads when I was down in that area, and you had trout, mackerel.
What do you think the red tide's going to do with that?
Red tide could decimate it if it comes in and hits it just right. All that bait's in. What's happening right now is the white bait is spawning right now.
Right.
And traditionally, after they're done spawning, they're going to blitz out into the Gulf of Mexico, and that's what produces peewee season for us in July.
Right. But if Jug that, let's switch on to Jug Creek Shoals, Boquilla.
Speaking of the baity area, that's about all I've heard down there is guys going to catch bait.
Always on the shoal out on the deeper areas, if you're in that area looking around, you can encounter trout and definitely shark. It's a great place to go catch some black tips, sharp nose, things like that. But always keep an eye out for a cobia in that area. Caught many cobias out there, set up on a trout hole and have some nice cobia swim right up to the boat.
All right.
That's ridiculous. Why would there be fish where there's bait?
All right. I'm sorry. I go through these little fits and features. All right. We're over to Burnt Store, Two Pines. What do we got? Anything anybody heard of?
I haven't heard anything down at Two Pine, but Burnt Store has been okay for the guys who are out there wade fishing. Again, we're seeing a mixed bag of trout, mostly smaller ones with the occasional bigger one. Seeing some snook up along the shorelines. Haven't heard so much with the redfish, just a couple down there. You could also go out there, and I wouldn't necessarily expect to see it, but I did have one guy tell me that he saw what he thought were a couple of cobia out towards the bar. However, he is not a very experienced wade fisherman, and they may have been small sharks. It's hard for those guys to tell sometimes. You got two different men in brown suits and can't really tell them apart.
Two different guys in brown suits and you can't tell them apart?
Yeah.
What if one's black and one's white?
Well, those guys you could probably tell apart. But a cobia and a shark are just guys in brown suits from a distance. You can't really tell them apart.
Did you get that reference before he explained it?
I actually did.
Really?
I thought it was
okay.
Clear.
It's just me. All right, I got it. I'm okay. I can deal with this. Morris, you got anything on Burnt Store Two Pines?
Nope, haven't been there.
All right. We're doing kind of heard of, heard of. All right. East Side. Anybody heard anything on the East Side?
A lot of the guys that I talk to who normally fish the East Side have been avoiding it. They said that they're tired of going in there and not catching much. So they've been exploring other areas.
You heard of anybody over there, Morris?
No, I haven't heard anything from the East Side.
All right, I don't have anything either. That's very seldom do we get question marks on the East Side of the harbor.
Yeah, and not really north of Burnt Store. I haven't talked to anybody who's fishing north of, I talked to a couple of guys who have fished around Punta Gorda area, but that's not really East Side.
That's upper. When's the last time you were on the East Side, Pirate Harbor up to Alligator Creek?
I don't fish there a whole lot. I fished there last year a couple times and did well, but that was last year, not this year.
I'll be darned. I think maybe a lot of people are feeling that where, okay, we've just done the East Side, now I want to go on to... I can honestly say, when I had my druthers, I went to the cutoff in Tippecanoe rather than going down to the East Side. I didn't run back there, even though I had a couple spots. I was pretty sure there was fish, but I went the other way.
Right.
So.
Well, and a lot of the guys I see over on the East Side now seem to be the Googans. The guys who really don't know what they're doing out there, and they kind of tend to mess things up for the rest of us. And you get into other places, like up into Tippy, you don't really see those guys so much up in Tippy and up in the cutoff. And when they're out there in Bull and Turtle Bay, they have no idea where they're going. So, you can kind of tuck up out of their way. But over on the East Side, it's a little bit more difficult.
All right. That's going to take us up Alligator Creek, Poacher's Cut Skating Rink.
Seems very quiet in here still.
Morris, heard of anything? Talked to anybody?
No.
Well, you don't have to actually be there. You can actually hear of people, catching fish there. I got nothing. I haven't heard anything.
No, neither have I. This is Robert's people. This is the Punta Gorda Fishing Club group. They love Robert. They talk to Robert. They share their life stories with Robert and not with me.
Okay. Has anybody heard of anything from Ponce de Leon Park?
Ponce I've heard about, yes. Okay. Guys catching some small but keeper mangrove snapper there at the pier. A handful of snook up there, again, pretty much all smaller ones. Heard about a lot of stingrays that were out there where the guys were trying to wade fish, so be careful if you're trying to wade off of Ponce. These were not the big ones either. These are the little dinner plate size rays. So
the perfect size.
Yeah, the perfect size to stick right in your ankle.
Break it off.
Yeah, and you'll feel like somebody stuck it in and broke it off of one of them.
Yeah.
You got anything more?
No, Ponce. I haven't fished up in there. Just if you're going to be wading out there, keep an eye on Grandpa and the incoming tide.
Okay. Yeah, don't it only makes sense if you post the photo now in the fishing report.
Don't leave Grandpa in his chair out there if the tide's coming.
You know, so if your grandfather's out there sitting in a lawn chair on the middle, in the middle of the flats there off of Ponce, please bring him in before the tide comes up. I believe that's what Morris is trying to say.
Or at least put floaties on him.
Well, if you wait till the tide's up good enough, you can bring him in a lot easier. You can just kind of pull him in and he'll float in.
Yeah. That's what the floaties are for.
Right. Now we're talking about, let's see, Punta Gorda Isles, the canals, you know, Poacher's Cut, Barge Canal.
You know, the PGI canals PGI have had some canals. Fish, but they haven't had fish quite like the Port Charlotte canals have had. It's kind of a duplicate report in that we're seeing some of the redfish up in there. We're seeing some snook up in there. We're seeing the jacks up in there. But we're seeing fewer of everything. I don't know why, but it seems like those fish have really targeted in on the Port Charlotte canals in the past few weeks.
Now, Morris, I think you can back me up on this because you've been doing this longer than I have. Remember when PGI was the hottest thing and there was almost nothing in the Port Charlotte side?
Yes.
You mean last year? Yeah, I remember that. We don't need Morris's memory to go back this far.
Well, we know how you are with short-term memory, Josh. But,
Josh, I didn't want to put you on the spot. You know? It was a long time ago for you. Okay. But, I mean, for years, all we talked about was PGI and how great the fishing was and all that. And now it's really seemed in last year, this year, where it's really starting to be more of a Port Charlotte thing. And I can't even fathom why that would have changed that much, except for possibly more people fishing in PGI, a little more pressure.
Maybe. I don't know. Ask a fish.
I thought I was.
No, he's the fish coach.
Oh, the fish coach. I forgot. I got to go direct to the players and not just to the fish coach.
You think the coach would know what the players are up to.
The players don't always tell you. If every coach knew what his players were doing, then...
Okay, Josh Olive, the fish coach, you know, that's who we thought we had here in the chair. The man who goes with people, shows them where to catch fish, teaches them all this stuff.
I do those things, but that doesn't mean that
you do those things for money.
Tell me these things. You know, it doesn't mean that I have the direct inside line onto all those fish.
I thought you were bribing the fish with the money you make from the people you took out.
Well, fish don't accept money as bribes. They do accept dead shrimp. You know, I have been bribing certain fish in certain places, which I'm not going to tell you about because those are my places.
Wait a minute, Morris.
Secret spots he's not going to tell us.
This is no longer Josh the fish coach. This is Josh Secret Spot Josh.
Yeah.
Well, when you're feeding fish in secret spots, you know, you don't want everybody to know exactly where those spots are. It's not fair.
Morris,
I recently discovered why the PGI fish are not there anymore. Josh is feeding all of them in the Charlotte Canal system.
Okay. Let's move on to Gilchrist Pier here, guys. Gilchrist is one of those secret spots that nobody really fished, but all of a sudden now it's becoming more popular again.
Yeah, and the reason it's becoming more popular is becoming readily apparent if you go over there and try fishing it. You know, we've been seeing some sharks over there. There haven't been a lot of big ones that I've heard about this week, but pretty good numbers of smaller ones. Probably half a dozen guys going over there doing some shark fishing and catching mostly small bull sharks. and black tips. Haven't heard about anybody catching anything else down there this week, although there have been some other species lately.
Possible cobia is a definite possibility over there. Several of the guys have been seeing them. What are we pointing at here, Mr. Morris?
It's just a bonefish with one of these fake shrimp in its mouth.
Okay.
It has nothing to do
Where did you catch the bonefish at, Morris?
Gilchrist Pier.
Gilchrist Pier.
All right. Where was the bonefish caught?
It was caught in the Bahamas. But it was caught on the savage shrimp, which I've discovered is an amazing bait for just about anything that eats a shrimp.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How was the Bahamas?
It was good. It was very cold. And it was windy.
No, wait a minute.
These
are not the actual things you want. You know, so he says, oh, I was in the Bahamas. You don't think cold and windy. You know,
when we wear long pants there, just about all month long, and jackets, it's pretty chilly.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it was March in the Bahamas, and it was March here, and we basically had the same weather. Yeah.
Now, I did see a photo on Facebook this week, and I'm not friends with the person who posted it, so I can't be sure that it was actually caught recently or it was actually caught this week, but it certainly looked like the Gilchrist Pier. They had photos of a sawfish, maybe 6 or 8 feet long, nice. That was hooked, and they kind of had it still in the water and looking down at it. So, you know, it's roughly in the right area where I'd expect to see some sawfish. Mm-hmm. So I'd say if you're going to call cobia a possibility, might be a saw down there too.
Okay, possible cobia. And or sawfish. All right. Now
it's
I'm
a good time to throw a topwater plug there, too, along the seawalls.
Yeah, the snook fishing used to be awesome there.
Jacks,
we used
snook, redfish.
We used to teach
even.
People how to fly fish there along that seawall for snook. Because you've got a big open area, you can get a nice back cast, and, you know, the snook fishing was just awesome right along that seawall.
Yep.
I actually taught Angel to fly fish there.
There you go.
Alligator Creek Reef, what do we got?
Alligator Creek Reef has not been amazing since a lot of the pelagic fish aren't coming up that far with all the water flow that's coming down. I have heard about some very nice spade fish caught out there. If you're willing to go out and actually fish for spade fish, what did you type? Did you type sample fish?
I don't know what I typed. You really think?
I think you can see it better from where you're sitting. Yeah, he can see.
I think that's what he typed.
Well, the problem is, there's not much connected to my brain. You know, in order to get from my brain, it's got to go down 3 feet, come back up, and then go to my arms.
Down 3 feet from your brain is your... Yeah. Never mind.
All right.
Your fundament.
All right, so, Mars, any possibility of anything at the Alligator Creek Reef?
I always like to put a chum bag out when I'm fishing there and catch snapper until the big...
Goliaths,
Hebrew halibuts show up.
Hebrew halibuts.
Well,
I gotta admit, I like that. The Hebrew halibuts.
Well, you know, a long time ago when they changed the name from Jewfish to Goliath grouper, I was speaking with one of the girls at a CCA meeting, and she was from the state, and I said, you know, there are a lot of people really mad now that you've changed the name to Goliath grouper, and she says, well, why is that? And I said, well, you realize that Goliath was a Philistine, and now they're really upset with you.
Right. And they won.
She's the ultimate enemy of the Jews.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, actually, back in the day, it was not Jew fish, it was J-U-N-E fish. They were asking the locals what they called those fish, and they were June fish.
Now, I've heard jewel fish, yeah. June fish.
It was June fish.
I've heard many, many, many explanations for it, all of which are possible.
Now, do you know that in Australia they have a fish called a Jewfish?
Really?
But it's actually a corvina, which is basically a giant sea trout, mm-hmm. and they have what we would call a Goliath grouper or a Jewfish down there, and they call it a potato cod.
Potato cod.
Potato cod.
And now the potatoes are really offended.
It's no worse than a Hebrew halibut. Listen, I have spade fish advice. Can I give it? Look, okay. Spade fish are tricky fish to catch.
Why are you talking about spade fish? Oh, we're at the reef. Okay.
You're not going to catch them too often down there on the bottom. You're going to catch them more in the midwater areas, and they feed mostly on jellyfish in those midwater areas. So
do I type like in caps, do not fish the bottom?
If you're trying to catch spade fish, offer them a piece of peeled shrimp or a piece of squid suspended under a float about 6 feet down.
Piece of shrimp with
or squid.
Open palm.
That's his clam.
Do it while crawling forward with your head down. Okay.
About 6 feet down under a float.
It's a good thing this is a politically correct
It show. Certainly is. I'm glad there's no video.
Yeah, somebody says, why don't, you know, how come you don't do, like, the live thing on one of the social media sites? It's because I don't want people to know what the hell I'm doing.
Right, no. I mean, at least this is, in theory, editable.
Yeah.
Yeah, unlike Howard Stern, you know, we do keep it mild.
Yeah. I don't know, Morris did show up, so.
Yeah, it's gotten different dicey. Since he got
okay.
here, so.
The deep holes in the harbor. I've actually heard about Spanish mackerel out there.
I am happy for you. Type it. Spanish. See if you type Spanish.
Mackerel.
Look at that. He spelled it right the first time.
Yeah.
Hey. Sorry.
Let's see. We've worked on the Hebrews. We've worked on the Philistines. Now we're on the Spanish.
Don't you give me no dirty look, everybody. Mackerel, I don't need no stinking mackerel. Okay. Yes.
It's fine.
Don't need your stinking lure, man.
Just make sure you spread it out. Make sure you share it all the way around.
Okay, so deep holes in the harbor. I've heard of Spanish mackerel.
Yeah, I've heard of guys who are going out there trying to catch tarpon. They've been seeing some tarpon rolling. They have not really been catching too many tarpon. They have been putting out thread fins and having some of those big old mamma jamma sail cats eating them. So if you want to go look at tarpon and catch sail cats, I think that's a pretty good place to go. If we do see red tide pushing in a little bit farther up into Gasparilla Sound, though, I can't imagine that more of those fish aren't going to show up out in those 20 deeper holes.
That should really make that really good fishing.
Okay, so both of you guys agree, so now the world can be afraid.
We agreed before.
Gotcha. I'm not saying you didn't. Okay.
We agree that we're willing to hang out with you.
That's just, we all make mistakes, you know, what can I say? All right, bait reports. Is there white bait anywhere?
Yeah. We talked about some down there at Jug Creek Shoal area. We've seen some here up in the upper harbor around the markers. I haven't talked to anybody who's been amazed by heavy concentrations anyplace else.
Well,
I mean, there was some off the beaches.
Morris, now you're the ICW island guy out there. Any bait out there?
Yeah, there's a lot of schools of threads, you know, tarpon size and offshore size. And again, these are in areas that are going to be affected directly by the red tide. But they're off of Cabbage Key all the way down into Pine Island Sound, and there's some off of Cayo Costa on the bay side. Up on the grass flats, there are plenty of white bait, up to, you know, almost hand-sized white bait, some of them, but a good mixture. And the last time I actually fished in that area, I made a single throw with the 12-foot net, and I dumped half of it out and kept about 150.
All right. Any ladyfish anywhere?
Yeah, there have been some ladyfish up inside Bull
All
Bay
in, that bait.
In some of the deeper spots. That's all I've specifically
pinfish?
Heard about.
A lot of dead ones right now.
Yeah, that's not going to be very helpful.
All right.
Gather them up and freeze them real quick.
I just did the red tide reports, but for those of you who haven't looked at the thing, Sarasota County's in yellow. Background to medium concentrations from 28 samples they collected. I don't know how many collect samples they do in each county. I got to find that out.
It's not specific. It depends partly on what they see from other samples. Like, for example, if all they're finding is background, then they may not do a full 28 samples.
All right.
But if they're seeing some medium concentrations in some of their initial sampling, then they do more.
All right. The only reason I believe you believe that, but, I mean, we got background to medium, 28 samples in Sarasota. We got very low to medium in 6 samples in Charlotte. And background to medium in 5 samples in Lee County.
Yeah,
and
you'll see more samples collected from Charlotte and Lee County when they do the next round.
Okay, so background in Collier County. So Sarasota, Charlotte, and Lee counties, you're all in yellow. You could possibly run into red tide at any time, or it could be fine. Could be bad, good, don't know. Collier County, you're fine. Background concentrations only, so all good down there. That's going to bring us into the freshwater reports. And what do we have for freshwater fishing?
Well, I know Morris doesn't do any freshwater fishing, so he wouldn't know anything.
Not a bit. No, the bass right now are pretty darn good, especially with all the freshwater runoff. It doesn't hurt them. It actually, you know, promotes their feeding. Any place where there's moving water right now, you can pretty much put a bait in there and catch a bass and probably more than a few.
Any type of lures, bait, what would you go for?
They're biting about anything you throw in there. I would concentrate on either worm or a small crankbait, a small Rapala, small to medium, you know, not huge baits right now.
So, you know what's weird is I'm going from one extreme to the other with the guys. They come in, they're looking for the 4-inch worms or the 10 or 12-inch worms. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I had a lot of requests for this year, I still don't have any in stock yet, is the big 8, 10-inch lizards. I've been trying to find somebody who's got some of the big lizards. I've always, you know, had a lot of requests for lizards, and I carry them in 2 or 3 different brands. But this was the first year for oversized giant lizards.
People are starting to discover that. A lot of the tournament guys and the guys on TV are promoting these bigger baits to catch bigger fish on. And, you know, it's not a theory, it's truth that, you know, if you present a bigger bait, you know, majority of the time, you're going to catch a few bigger fish on it.
Well, and the cool thing about that, especially with bass, is that you're not necessarily going to exclude your smaller fish. I mean, if you're throwing a 12-inch lizard, you're probably not going to catch a 1-pounder, but certainly that 2.5-pounder has no problem attacking it. And you're going to have a much better chance of getting the attention of that 10 or 12-pounder.
Okay.
You type bat fishing, by the way?
No, big, soft plastics.
No, your first line over there. It looks like it says bat fishing.
No, it's BAS. I didn't get the other S on it yet. And fishing's misspelled. Okay, there, I fixed it.
Okay, good. Makes my inner proofreader feel better.
Yes, I know. It's got to be watching me type has to be horrific.
Here's the thing, okay? Every week, I edit a magazine, okay? I have to take people's columns and fix all the typos that are in there, and then I have to type my own stuff, and I have to type fishing reports, and it all has to be correct. And to watch somebody sit there and just type things and have misspellings and weird capitalizations and wrong spacings, it drives me a little bit nuts. I should have let Morris sit over here. I really should have.
I can't imagine. Morris, what other kind of freshwater fish are hitting? Or Josh, anybody got anything?
Well, it's not just the bass. Anything that's predatory is out there doing its thing. You know, the Mayan cichlids will be stacked up in kind of the same areas as the bass are. If you've got areas that have the Mayans in them, you'll have literally, if you're throwing something small enough, Mayan one cast, bass the next. The bluegills are doing the same thing. We've had some bluegills doing some bedding, so they're not only actively feeding now around those outflows, but
bluegills
also
are still bedding.
Yeah.
Just like, I thought everybody would be done with that by now.
No, we've had some bluegills bedding.
This year the water was a little cooler than normal. So, you know, we had water temperatures that were cool for, you know, a little longer into the year. So, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think about that, but I guess so. I mean, I would have just, you know, this is May. We usually think they're all done. I mean,
shellcrackers, really, you know, the red ear sunfish, right, locally shellcrackers, they bed like crazy in May still.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
Even though it's June.
Okay, it's June. I'm sorry. Well, you know, hey, we're only 9 days into the month, so
yeah,
you know,
fish
I
don't
still
have calendars.
I haven't transitioned.
It's fine.
Yet. Okay. Anybody got anything else freshwater?
Yeah. Throw the beetle spins for those panfish, and you'll small jigs, curly tail jigs, and beetle spin style baits, and you'll catch the Mayans, you'll catch all the panfish, and you know, every now and then you're going to catch a really nice bass on one of those.
Any particular color?
Usually whites, something chartreuse.
All right. So moving on into, let me see here. All right. I guess now that brings us into the tarpon reports. And let me get my brush done, size it. And I'm going to go with red dots, which means where's the best bet for finding tarpon right now? Basically, Venice down to Estero. Is there any tarpon around any place good?
I would say your best chance is probably in the Gasparilla Sound area. That's where I've been hearing about the best people actually catching those fish, is the Gasparilla area. Like I said, the inside, the land side of the channel, the ICW.
Okay. Now, I guess we got to go to yellow dots because there's no more red dots to be had, right?
Right. I mean, you may run into those fish in a lot of different places, you know, further down into Gasparilla Sound.
Okay. Because I got to keep up to what you're doing here.
Right.
Going down into, how's Boca Grande Pass? Is that a yellow dot 50-50 or white dot chance?
I'd say it's yellow dot, but it's going to depend on what the red tide is doing in there. Yeah, I mean, those fish certainly are not going to be hanging out in a big old bunch of red tide. Not
so
happening.
50-50 out in front of Bull Bay, Turtle Bay?
Yeah. Yeah, I would think that seems a little bit more likely, but again, it's going to depend more on red tide. And remember, too, if you run into red tide in those areas, those fish have to be somewhere, so head inland.
All right.
You know, start heading up in towards where the water is fresher and the red tide can't survive.
All right. Along the beaches, is there any tarpon up north or south of us on the beaches?
There are tarpon on the beach. Again, that big question mark is with the red tide concentration.
So is it 50-50?
I would say 50-50 because, you know, just because they're not, you know, 200 yards off the beach, you know, in their normal areas, you know, they could be 3 or 4 miles off the beach because they'll go out in the Gulf quite a bit, you know, to get away from conditions they don't favor.
Yeah, you got to remember, we think of tarpon as shallow water fish, but tarpon don't necessarily think of themselves that way. They have no problem with running out to a couple hundred feet of water to get away from red tide. They're looking for clean water areas where there's something to eat.
And the other, it was a year or two ago, you were out in like 120, 130 feet. And
I see them spawning out there just about every time, every summer when we're out fishing the loop current, or, you know, anywhere from 200 to 400, 500 feet.
Okay.
Literally thousands of tarpon rolling and milking the surface. They're definitely spawning. There's no other way that would be possible. I've visually just driven up right up on the school and looked down from the flybridge at them doing their thing. So they're spawning.
And just like I've seen them, you know, milking in the harbor. All of a sudden, here's this tarpon, all this stuff in the water, and you know, these biologists say, "Oh, they don't do that." And you're like, "Okay, well, you know, obviously, you're really good at your job."
They're kind of like humans. I mean, you know, wherever the opportunity presents itself,
right? Yeah, maybe they ain't supposed to do that there.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, we're not supposed to in Walmart, but you know, you never know.
Now, Josh, you're giving away your secret spots.
Really? I'm sitting there going, oh God,
this
where's
is a different
gonna
show
go with this?
This is a different show now. Totally.
And next on Adventures of This Happened at Wally.
You can build a fort back in there behind all the paper towels and nobody even knows where you're at back there.
All right. I'm going to ask, is there yellow dots, white red dots, yellow dots, or white dots in the deep holes of the harbor?
I would go with yellow dots.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Where is my next place to put something? Is there any good night fishing for tarpon? I got night fishing dots too here.
Yeah, the Boca Grande Pass area, definitely.
Sure, give it a shot in the Boca Grande Pass area if you don't have any of that red tide in there. There's also very realistically possibility of those fish up at El Jabin and even at the 41 Bridge.
Because I have heard of really good night fishing for tarpon over the last few days, even with the red tide, that Boca was just lighting up at night. Sanibel, Captiva, anywhere inside or outside of possible tarpon?
It's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Captiva Pass on that outgoing tide. Yeah.
I mean, it should be really good. But again, you know,
crabs were flushing amazing the last couple of weeks out of the pass. So.
Okay. All right. Well,
I know it makes it a harder report for you to put on your map, but you know, it really is heavily dependent on what happens with the red tide going on there.
Right.
You know, we're just in that kind of a situation.
Okay.
An ugly reality.
Gotcha. Well, maybe what I can do is maybe figure out a way of putting like an arrow or something on there, you know, needs to be going that way or needs to be going this way. I guess that pretty much brings us to the end of that fishing report era. All right, if Morris, do you have any good advice for people who are going to go out this weekend and go fishing for anything? Any good advice that, you know, where they might have some pretty good luck for anything?
Yeah, don't go out with blinders on. You know, fishing is an opportunistic sport, and, you know, what presents itself to you, don't. If you go out and you say, I'm just going to catch grouper, and you go out in the Gulf of Mexico right now, you're missing some of the best fishing you'll ever encounter by only fishing for that grouper on the bottom. You know, pay attention to things that are around.
So you're going to go out and anchor up and bottom fish out there. What else would you, you know, you're bottom fishing. Is there something you can do while you're doing that to make it better?
Put a medium to heavy action spin rod or casting rod out with a lot of line on it. Wire leader and balloon out a couple of live sardines, blue runners. You know, you could even use a pinfish if you don't have any of the other things. Put those out on a balloon or
now, how far under a balloon would you go?
2-3 feet. You know, okay. If you're fishing for stuff that, you know, loves to strike on the surface and just let it drift out behind the boat. We've caught, you know, I can't even imagine to count how many sailfish, blackfins, dolphin, king mackerel, wahoo. Tiger sharks. Oddly enough, we catch 3 or 4 tiger sharks every year, and we catch them on balloon baits for king mackerel and dolphin. And
now, that was a not something. I'm sorry, guys. That was not something I ever expected to hear. Okay, put out a pinfish or threadfin under
for a tiger shark.
2 or 3 feet sure. of, Why you not? Know, under a bobber and catch tiger sharks. That was just not where I would have thought
They're
that was going.
They're all 5 to 8 foot fish, you know, yeah. Very beautiful at that size. They're just colored up. You know, the markings are stunning on them. You know, they don't really fight special, but, you know, you can.
They sure are
it's still
really
a
pretty.
It's a tiger shark.
Yeah, it's a tiger shark. Okay, Josh, your advice for somebody this week?
My advice for somebody this week is keep your nose well-tuned. Watch out for that red tide. Mm-hmm. You know, we've definitely got some of it out there. Whether it's going to be in your area or not, I don't know. I hope that it isn't. If it is, then move. You know, that's what the fish are going to do. They're not going to move necessarily 15 miles either. They're going to move just far enough to get out of that patch of red tide. And that's what you should be doing too. You don't need to move so ridiculously far that you're fishing unfamiliar waters, but have a couple different places in mind that you might want to go to so that when that red tide pops up, if it's there, you have a backup plan for, well, okay, it was in my spot, I'm going to move to this spot, which is fairly close by, and hopefully it's not there. And also, if you see a fort made of paper towels at Walmart, do not tear it down to see what's inside of it.
Great advice.
And my last piece of advice, and it kind of goes there, is if you need more information,
please
stop in the shop here at Fish and Frank's, and you can get some local advice that's current, and they will point you in the right direction for the right tackle.
Oh, God, thank
and lures.
God for Morris.
You know, please do that if you have any questions. And if you're in Walmart, say hi to Josh.
Yeah, all right. Now, I got one thing. I'm going to ask you, please don't try and catch and release fishing. If you're in an area where your throat is scratchy, you're coughing a little bit, it's very, very hard for the fish to survive in an area with low red tides. Their gills are being paralyzed. They're not being poisoned. They're mostly being suffocated because their gills don't want to work right. Smaller fish succumb very quickly to red tide, whereas larger fish can hang out. But you still might be hungry, even though you don't really feel good, and having that red tide affect your gills. Catch and releasing a fish puts them under a lot of stress in a red tide area. If you're going there and you're going there and you're going to eat that red fish, no problem. But if you're going to try and catch and release that red fish, you're catching and killing, no matter if you put them back in the water or not. So try and move out of the area where you're not coughing and the fish can survive the catch and release process. So that would be my only thing to add. And thank you guys very much for the fishing report. And A new bit of warning that we've all got to pay attention to is avoid the paper towels in department stores.
No, just if they're built up into a fort. That's the only thing.
Okay.
If you're disassembling what looks like something somebody has put together, you never know why they put that together. You got to be prepared for whatever is behind it, and you're not prepared.
I am definitely not prepared. All right, Fish and Frank here in the chair. Josh in the chair across from me, and Captain Morris Campbell in the guest seat. And I guess we'll catch you on the next Radio Fishing. Thank
See,
you, guys.
We barely even missed Robert.
Yeah, barely even missed him.
Please come back, Robert.
Robert, who?
He's at Walmart.
Yeah.